famous Phil Hendry. What is that?
Mike Will made it.
Oh, that. Yeah, that's one of the hip-hop...
One of the hip-hop producers.
Yes, I always hear that. Mike Will made it.
Right, Margaret Gray.
Yes, this is Margaret Gray. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. General Galen Shaw.
Yes, and along with me is Bud Dickman.
Yeah, and Robert Leonard.
Phil Hendry here with you, and always good to have you guys with us. Welcome to the program. Today we have an As You Like to Hear Them, Margaret.
Yes, we do, and this is a very special one. A couple of things will be happening today, by the way. We're going to be talking with Mark Bargnon.
What's this guy's name?
I'm not going to go through this right now, General.
This is that guy, Mark Barger, right?
Mark Bargnon.
That's the guy that...
Look, everyone, don't hack me off now, all right? Let me get through this. Mark Bargnon is the manager of the Hotel Rinaldo. They have a new one in Washington, D.C. It is on Pennsylvania Avenue, very near the Trump Tower. And we're going to be talking with Mark Bargnon about the accommodations.
Hey, now, hold on. See how you mumbled through that? You don't even know what his name is.
Well, I mean, what is his name? I'm going to say it for the last time.
Let's not argue about this. What's the guy's name?
Mark Barger.
Mark Barger?
No, Mark Bargnon.
Margaret.
No. Now, we've got him on the phone. Do you want to talk to him, or do you want to talk to me about this?
It doesn't matter. We'll talk to him when he comes up.
So anyway, as I was saying, we'll be talking with him about just how Washington, D.C. is taking the new Trump Tower Hotel, or whatever it's called, the Trump something. And, of course, election night, and your plans, Phil, to be in Washington, D.C., is that right?
Don't say anything.
Yeah, we've got to get figured out technically and everything.
Well, what are you talking about? Figured out? I thought this was the big move. You guys would be doing the show from D.C.
That's what I thought.
No, I never said anything of the sort. I said that we're going to look into it. What we want to do, if there's only one reason to go to Washington, D.C., and that is to do the show live, to do the show, to do the election returns live. You know, there's no point in doing a recording.
Why not?
Because what am I going to do? Back there and do the recording of the election returns and then play it back?
Wait a minute, say that again. Yeah, I understand it.
Are you guys kidding?
Well, just go through it again.
I'm not going to go back to Washington, D.C. to do the live coverage of the election returns, only to be playing it back the next day.
Well, you're not doing the live coverage. That's just it.
Yes, you're going to be playing it back.
Okay, so I'm going to play back the next day the election returns that were the night before.
What?
Man.
Mr. Henry, you're a little bit confused. Here's what we want to know.
Oh, Bud.
No. Hold on. Yeah, I think I speak for everybody here.
Well, you go ahead, Bud.
I think I speak for everyone here, Mr. Henry. You're saying that you're going to go to Washington, D.C. and want to do live?
Yes.
Okay. Then why can't you play it back?
What do you mean, play it back?
As a podcast.
I could do that, sure.
Okay, what's the problem?
I want to do it live.
But you said you play it back.
I'm going to kill somebody.
All right,
Bill, come on.
Yeah!
I hit him for you.
Thank you.
God damn, man.
Look, Bud, don't try and make life more difficult for me because, you know, when you do that to me, things happen. People die. Cities cities vanish from the face of the earth. Things happen.
God, Bill, sound like a Godzilla or something.
You make yourself sound like...
God, Margaret, why don't you spit out your... You.
I said he makes himself sound like Gargantua, King of the Apes, or whatever the hell the thing's called.
What?
What was the animal in the movie?
King Kong?
No. The lizard.
Yeah, that was Godzilla.
No. The one...
There's only one giant lizard. I can't believe we're talking about this. Okay.
Well, who was Gargantua?
Gargantua, King of the Apes? There was no such movie.
No such movie.
You know what? As Frank would say, push.
All right. Margaret, I'm telling you, Gargantua... Well, there might have been a Gargantua King of the Apes. Is that what he said?
Yes.
God, just...
Yes!
All right.
What are you laughing at?
What is your point?
My point is you go running around here, Phil, like you're Gargantua, Queen of the Apes, running hither and thither. You're going to destroy cities.
Just said Queen of the Apes.
Yes.
Well, I thought it was called King of the Apes.
No, Gargantua, Queen of the Apes. I'm sorry, I misspoke. You...
All right, thank you very much. I'll look for that next time I'm, you know, on Amazon or I'm looking at Hulu or I want to buy something to watch on a cold and lonely night.
Fine, Phil, great.
Thank you.
But you remember, we have Mark Bargnon.
Yeah, we have Mark Bargnon coming up.
No, Mark Bargnon.
All right. And he's going to be coming up today. We also have with us Art Griego to talk about this pilot that was arrested. We got another pilot that was busted for drinking or something.
Dad, it's a kind of an epidemic, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't call it an epidemic, however. This is very serious. You know, when you when you're trying to fly an aircraft, and you get on the aircraft and you find out that the pilot is half in the bag, no thank you.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very safe.
All right, well, we're going to talk to Art Griego about that and more as we do our show today. World famous Phil Hendry Show, PhilHendryShow.com. Let's check out the traffic right now. Here's Bob Bakian. Bob?
I'm pulling there. Pulling. See, now, John, right now, you're going to find out you the chief that is good. And we've got that Donald H. Trump, too, escaped. And he escaped from the zoo. And that's the gargantuan queen of the gates. Go to Skyboy right now.
Hi, Bob. I'm going to have the 13 freeway. There's all kinds of creeps out there. A lot of stuff there. There's a slut with a freak band with a cat. And it up over our head. Don't have that Pacific Coast Highway right there. It's real slow going as far as they shamble, right? And they're ashamed of themselves over there, and they shouldn't be driving cars and not in the public. I'm going to Sky Baby.
Ah, don't go to the Cabalala.
I can see your butt. I've been drinking.
Do you really want to hurt me?
Do you really want to hurt him? Well, you can at Mufflers Incorporated. You can hurt him bad by bringing in your garbage can car with the muffler hanging off of it and tell him, I want this in a half an hour. At Mufflers Incorporated, we'll do it even if it hurts, even if it really sears the soul and the mind and the sensibilities of our mechanics. This is one of our mechanics, Jim Jeffco. But if you really want to hurt him, bring your garbage can in now to
Muffler Incorporated.
Muffler Incorporated. Bring it in and tell him I need it in a half an hour and don't give me any stuff at all. Muffler Incorporated, now in three locations, in the city of La Gaba and in downtown Swelbin. Now coming to Burnvie, Mufflers Incorporated. Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy Dean. Been a long time since I did this song. And ever since then, I've gotten into the sausage-making business. Isn't that whack? That's right. I was a recording star, and I decided I don't want to do that anymore. I want to make sausage. I want to go ahead and slaughter pigs and make breakfast for everybody. That's right. I'm Jimmy Dean. I make sausages now. I don't sing.
How much money did you make in the recording business as opposed to sausages?
Three guesses. The first two don't count. Let me just give you a hint.
Sweet! I goes to the sausage?
Yeah, what happened to your nose, man?
We just drifted into town.
Jimmy Dean, from recording star to sausage.
Kind of quiet.
This week on A&E. A&E Biography Series, something for everyone. A&E, Jimmy Dean, recording star to sausage maker.
Y'all, I bet he was.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, welcome back here. And we have on the line with us Art Griego. Art is, as you know, a retired pilot. If you've been with us for any length of time, you know that Art has been... He's been on this show many times, going back many, many years. He's joining us from Santa Monica Airport this morning, or this afternoon, or however you want to put it, wherever we are. What time of day is it right now?
Are we talking to me?
Anybody.
It's the evening hours.
All right. So let's bring on our good friend there, Art Griego. Art, how are you doing, pal? It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Phil. It's good to be out with everyone.
And Art, you flew commercially for many years. You also flew privately. You're kind of in semi-retirement, but I do know that right now you do some freight service, correct?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've explained this a number of times to you, and I'm not criticizing, Phil. I realize it's difficult properly to understand what I'm trying to say.
What happened there?
You know what? We're going to be talking about, as you guys know, I had for a long time I had alcoholism, but I'm fine now. But because of the alcoholism, it caused a brain lesion. So every now and again, and it's only with the letter P that I'll begin to get like that. Let me, for instance, I'll try to say your name. Well, say your name was Patrick. Okay, Phil?
Okay, I guess you didn't know how to say Patrick.
No, I know how to say it. I can say Patrick good, but I just...
There was a brain lesion from what?
This is from alcoholism.
Oh, my God. When did you have that diagnosed?
Well, I went to a couple of neurologists. I noticed that this was happening while I was drinking. And one of my favorite drinks, as a matter of fact, is Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer. Now, I, boy, I tell you, it's bringing back some memories.
You drank Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Shut up, Bud, okay?
You do that one more time, I'll slap you.
All right, no, I understand. Bud wants to, he wants to lord it over a guy that he thinks is handicapped.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do nothing wrong.
Just don't be a smartass. All right, we're talking here with Art Griego. Art, so I'm sorry, you don't drink anymore, right?
No, I do. I found out that, you know, I came down with alcoholism briefly, but I got it under control.
What do you mean you got it under control? People say you can't just stop drinking again when you have it.
Yeah, you got to stay away from booze.
No, it's not. You don't understand. It's fine. I thought I was, and I may not be an alcoholic, although they say the brain lesion was probably from excessive drinking, which would make me an alcoholic. But let's just get off that subject, okay? Because I'm really, it's not comfortable for me.
All right, well, I don't want to lecture you, Art, but you know, you matter to us, and if you are an alcoholic and you're drinking, it's very dangerous.
Yeah, I get it. You know, I hear it from my wife all the time.
Well, and she loves you and cares about you.
Yeah, well, the love part. I know, I'm just,
Let me just lend my voice to that, okay?
Yeah, all right.
What was the name of that beer you liked?
Oh, you did that on purpose.
I just wanted to hear it again, because it's very weird.
All right, let's not make fun of the man. I don't think...
Yes, I agree with Phil. That's not in keeping with a Christian spirit.
Well, we're not talking about being Christian.
We may not be Christians, but we can pretend...
While we're on the air, yeah.
Yeah, it's the least we can do.
Oh, well, okay, I'll give you this. I appreciate that, everybody. I take it you want to ask me, though, about this Delta Connection pilot.
I do.
All right, what you've got, I brought this up to you, Phil, a couple of weeks ago, I think, when I was on your show, and I said, you know, that pilots are extremely nervous when they fly. Pilots are scared to death and always have been scared to death, and so it's very difficult for a pilot to take off and not be scared until he empties his bowels into his underwear. Again, it's difficult, and I can't emphasize this enough.
For God's sake!
No, I can't emphasize this enough, Margaret. It's difficult for a pilot to take off and fly and not empty his bowels into his underwear.
Yeah, you made this statement before about pilots being scared to death of flying, and yet they still fly, and that makes them great pilots. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. I don't know if it's backed up with any real, you know, evidence.
Excuse me, I'm a pilot, all right? And I flew for many years. And as a pilot,
I notice it doesn't happen every time you say the P word.
No, it doesn't. It's like I say, it's a lesion, so it's almost like epilepsy. And occasionally, you know, the pattern will be repeated, and sometimes the pattern is not repeated. Are you laughing at me?
No, I'm not.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I thought I heard you laughing. Hey, hold on for a minute. What we're doing right now is we're sawing an extra door into my Cessna. Yeah, that's got it. I need a freight door. So this is the problem. So
we're back on that then.
Back on what?
Back on this notion that pilots are so frightened that they have to drink.
Yes, as a matter of some succumb to the temptation because, again, you get on an aircraft and you fly. Hey, Jerry, yeah, make it wider. I want a nice big door because when I want to get stuff on the airplane, I want to do it fast and get the hell out of there. Yeah, there you go. I'm putting a big door on my plane.
You're in a hurry, huh?
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, you said you want to get out of there. You're delivering stuff.
No.
Wait a minute. The only guy that I know, or the only kind of people that I know that land aircraft and have to take off real fast are drug smugglers.
That's not it.
Well, you sure aren't really defending yourself all that much.
I'm not, because I've got work to do. I've got to...
Please, Art, don't tell us that you are... Don't tell us that you are flying drugs in and out of the country.
No, I'm not. I just said I wanted to land and get the hell out of there. Okay, that's all I want to do. I don't want to be on the ground very long because I land in some places that I don't like. I got to run. First, I'll give you an example. I have to take a mail sack to... I do a very private mail run and package run up to Oregon. Now, I love Oregon, but there's parts of Oregon I can't stand. And one of the areas is the eastern part of the state. It's a desert. There's a lot of weird rednecks and stuff. I can't stand that. So I land, and I dump the mail, and I get out of there. Another area that I'm not too nuts about is the so-called Inland Empire of the L.A. area, Riverside, Ontario. I got to get out of there. And I'm not really crazy about Central Florida. I got to get the hell out of there. So if you think of all the places in this country you don't like, you know, you want to get in and get out.
I don't. There's no place that I dislike so much that I got to land real fast and get out of there.
Well, I do, Phil. I guess that's the difference between us.
All right, let's get back to this. When we're talking about pilots that drink, the story that we are referring to, ladies and gentlemen, a SkyWest pilot scheduled to fly a Delta Connection flight out of South Dakota's Rapid City Regional Airport was arrested on Wednesday morning on charges that he was intoxicated, according to the Rapid City Police Department. The local Argus Leader newspaper reports that Rapid City Police were notified that a pilot smelled of alcohol shortly after 8 a.m. local time Wednesday, according to the public information officer. I want to ask you a question, Art. Why wouldn't a man at least take care not to smell of alcohol?
Well, you usually try to, but the fear factor is so high, and being scared literally almost half to death because you don't want to get into that aircraft and fly that thing, even though you are good at it, even though you're one of the best, is so much that you may just go ahead and crack a bottle and start swigging from it and hide it in your jacket.
Oh, come on.
You talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. You got to be kidding me. You're telling me that we, even with passenger flights, huh?
Well, this was a passenger flight.
No, that's when the guy's swigging from a bottle. He's hitting off a bottle and hiding it in his jacket.
Yes, because the fear is so great, you know.
The fear is so great of flying that these pilots have to drink. Now, why are you telling me that pilots are these are great pilots?
Every pilot that flies, Phil, is a professional. Every pilot I vouch for personally, even though I haven't met every pilot, I can tell you right now that every pilot is a professional and does the very best that he can. And these professionals, God, I almost made it through. These professionals may be drinking. They may be swigging straight from a bottle. They may be having a cocktail or a cordial up there in the cockpit. They may be half in the bag, but I can tell you they will fly well, land the aircraft, and take it off safely.
But what about aircraft that have had incidents? What about, for instance, that Indian Ocean, that Malaysia Airlines?
What about the Malaysia Airlines?
Well, that guy...
That was a suicide mission. That guy, you can't talk about that. That was a suicide mission. So there's a guy who is, essentially what he is doing is he's trying to kill himself. You don't have to be blind, stinking drunk to do that. He probably got drunk to give himself the courage to do it. But
all right, well, what about aircraft that crash because of pilot error?
If it's pilot error, it has something to do with him not flying the airplane right, not because he had a cocktail. And the other thing I want to tell you,
Now, you know, that's a load. I'm not a pilot, and I never will be a pilot. But I'm not buying into that, my friend.
Well, hey, I'm sorry that you're not, General, because I can fly an aircraft after taking two or three knocks off a bottle just as well as any guy that's sober. And I'm telling you, this is a part of my job and a part of a pilot's job.
Because you're scared.
Yes, because we're scared. Have you ever flown an aircraft?
Look, Art.
No, have you ever flown an aircraft?
No, I have not.
All right, then you don't know. You don't know what it's like to get behind the wheel of that thing and to take it off the ground and you're flying. Oh.
All right, and what you mentioned one other scenario.
Yeah, the other scenario is pilots need to know what it's like for a passenger when they're getting a cocktail, when you can kick back and you put your feet up and you say, hey, stewardess, I'd like a drink. And she might say, well, you're the pilot. Don't you have a bottle with you? I said, no, but I'd like to see you go and get me one. Now, why do we do that?
That sounds ridiculous.
But, I'm sorry?
That sounds ridiculous.
Well, you're ordering a drink from the flight attendant.
Yes. Yeah, I mean...
I'm sure that's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Well, you better get used to it because I may want, because of all the years of flying that I've done, I may want to say, you know, on this flight, I think I'd like to have a drink. And, the flight attendant will look at you funny, but ultimately it's your call. Look, you know as well as I do, I'll say to the flight attendant, that flying is frightening beyond all words. I'm scared, and I don't know if I'm ever going to get over it. I got to have a drink. And sometimes you feel panicked about it. But you put your feet up and you try to pretend like you're a passenger. You go, yeah, flight attendant, I'd like to have a whiskey sour, please.
Oh, the two of you are laughing now.
I'm not laughing. I was coughing.
Yeah. We're talking with Art Griego, retired pilot, commercial pilot, private pilot, charter pilot. He's done all kinds of flying. Talking, as we have with Art down through the years, about drinking. And that most pilots are scared to fly, and most pilots do have at least one or two drinks before taking off.
Well, not necessarily before taking off, but you may have a flask. You may have a hip flask, or you might have a something in your bag. You'll pull it out. You look around to see if anybody's looking at you. You hunch your shoulders. You've seen it a million times. You hunch your shoulders. You lean over and just take as long of a gulp as you can. And then you might hear the door open, or the guy might be, you know, your co-pilot might be wiggling the lock like, hey, why is this locked? And you'll just say something like, 1 minute, please, and then screw the cap back on the bottom.
Yes, we understand how it goes. That is the subterfuge, and that is underhanded, and you're putting people's lives at risk.
Oh, you know, General, you're a general. You know why? Because your feet were on the ground. It's called boots on the ground. God bless you for that. I don't hear them talking about boots in the air.
Boots in the air?
Dad, it's almost like saying that he's light in his loafers or something.
Yeah, you better watch with that boots in the air thing.
I don't hear anybody say boots in the air. I hear them say boots on the ground. That means one thing, your feet are on the ground. And thank God they are, because you're a great general, and God bless all of our soldiers. But they're not in the air. Boots in the air, those are mine. My boots are in the air. You can just, if you see two boots dangling, well, it sounds stupid.
Yeah. You know what? Get out of here.
Phil, I can honestly tell.
Art Griego, ladies and gentlemen, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Is that it?
You're not going to apologize for that. Why am I going to apologize for that?
You got this ass on again with his booze and his clown stories.
Yeah, the guy's always giving us the clown.
I have to agree with that one, Phil. If ever there is a guest that we have on this program from time to time who's always giving it, who's always sticking the clown, it's that one there, Griego.
Sticking the clown.
Yeah, Griego gives us the clown all the time, man. I'm tired of getting clown.
All right, great. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And we'll be right back. Hey, on the 4th of November, Phil Hendry and friends back at the Hollywood Improv at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose in Hollywood, California. Now, I don't yet have, do we, Bud?
No, I don't have the entire lineup. We do know Steve Bozell.
Yeah, Steve Bozell will also be on stage hosting the evening. So if you've got some time, if you've got, and you're in the area of Hollywood, California, come on over to the Hollywood Improv Lab. That's the Hollywood Improv Lab. That's the little room off of the big room where the little room and the big room. And then there's the little room, you know.
Yeah, it's near the big room.
Yeah. And then there's the bar. So,
all right, so there's the little room, the big room, and the bar. That's all you need.
That's pretty much all you need. You're right. And the bar's fun. After we get off stage, we'll generally, speaking of, you know, getting ready to fly.
What are you talking about?
I'm joking. So join us, please, November 4th, Friday night at the Hollywood Improv Lab in Hollywood, man. Get your tickets now. And there's a link for it on our homepage, philhendryshow.com. You'll see the link in the banner. You also can access that link on our Twitter accounts. And have we taken to...
Yeah, I got the... If you're watching Phil TV in HD.
All right. Well, not everybody's watching Phil TV in HD, but if you are, you will also see the links to Phil Hendry's show. You'll also see Real Phil Hendry. And then, of course, our fan page is facebook.com/ Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS, and we'll have a link there for you. That's the Hollywood Improv, November the 4th. Phil Hendry and friends.
At least we think they're his friends.
This is Dr. Wiles Gillespie. I'm the director of admittance for Sweet Farm. Sweet Farm is a place to take your loved ones so they can sit in the sun, warm themselves, and then be rolled back inside if it starts to rain. Sweet Farm also has the day room, the night room, the TV room, wonderfully sumptuous breakfasts, as well as lunches and dinners that are delivered directly to the door. That's from them to him, or them to her, or if it's you, from them to you, or if I'm serving it, me to you.
Yes, Sweet Farm. A place to retire to, a place to glorify in, a place to get stuck, but a place to free yourself, too.
Sweet Farm, a combination of a beautiful home, a war-torn city, and a jail cell.
Go to beautiful Sweet Farm. We're in the Yellow Pages. Well, we were in the Yellow Pages, but not no more.
Sweet Farm.
Another one. Another one.
Yeah, okay.
What is this?
Listen, who is this, bud?
This is DJ Khaled.
Hey, nah, they play the best music. DJ Khaled. Okay, welcome back to World Famous. Oh, that's Nicki Minaj there.
I can tell she's always running her yaps. How does it? Hey, Nicki Minaj, why don't you sing instead of just blah, 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 driving me nuts?
Excuse me, but she is a hip hop artist, which means she does do the rap as well as.
Yeah, uh huh. All right, we know what we're talking about. Melania Trump is going to join us on the Phil Henry Show. She is the wife. Of, as you know, Donald Trump, who's running for president of the United States. And Melania Trump joins us on our newsmaker line as we, roll out for yet another edition of
As You Like to Hear Them. We interview celebrities and people in the news who have to answer our questions honestly. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Thank you very much, General. And let's get Melania Trump on the phone here. Mrs. Trump, it's great to have you with us. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
I guess we can turn that music down.
Well, it's kind of, I like the ambience of it.
Oh, do you now?
Yeah.
Turn it down, bud. Anyway, Mrs. Trump, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
How long have you been married to Donald Trump?
We were married in 2005, so that's 11, 12 years.
Okay. And I don't want to get into a whole lot of, you know, how did you meet or anything like that, but what was the first thing that struck you about him?
Well, this is how you like to hear, so it's got to be honest, right?
Yes, absolutely, especially coming from you, because not that you're anything, not anyone that we would grill or question more strenuously, but is this interesting coming from the wife of a presidential candidate?
Okay, that was pretty. That was very long-winded. Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You went on and on.
Okay, hold on. The question is, what did you notice first about Donald Trump when you met him, Mrs. Trump?
Well, I mean, his money. You can't not.
All right. So it was mercenary, right?
Hey, Mrs. Gray, I'm sorry that I had to, chastise you a little bit. Please don't get up in my face. I got things to say, You know, Phil, you back me up on that?
Yeah, I just get over it, okay?
There you go, get over it.
I'm gonna get over it, but I don't like...
Margaret, come on!
Thank you. I'm the wife of Donald Trump, so just try not to get, I'll say it, try not to piss me off.
Is that right?
Come on, Margaret, come on.
God. Did she just say GD?
Mrs. Trump, please. So what did you notice first?
She noticed his money.
Darn, it was great.
Margaret, I'm going to have to ask you to get out of the studio if you don't stop.
Yes, I did. I noticed his money. And you asked me the first thing. Yeah, I said it was his money.
Well, you knew about him.
I knew about him. Yeah, I knew he was loaded. I knew he's had a lot of bread. And I knew he was supposedly a playboy. I've gone out with a lot of rich men, but... And a lot of them have a level of sophistication and a level of joie de vivre, that word.
Yes.
I'm not asking you.
Hey. Yes, I've heard it.
Okay. So they all had that, but Donald, he didn't quite, he looked a little bit awkward, like he was really trying to impress me and everything. But hey. He was very nice, and so we went out on a few dates.
And when you say he was trying to impress you with his money, or did you just know he had money?
No, he was trying to impress me with the money too.
All right, were you flying places? You know.
All right, am I going to?
If you ladies would be nice to each other, I'd appreciate it.
I'm sorry that I angered you.
Well, okay. What was your question?
Did he fly you places in his plane?
Oh yeah, yeah. We went everywhere. We went in the big Trump jet and the helicopter. And it was fun. He talked a lot about himself. I noticed that right off the bat. But I had to make a decision. I knew I wasn't getting any younger. I am a beautiful woman. There's no question about that. I don't think anybody's going to argue that.
Yes, we've seen your pictures.
Is she conducting the interview?
Hey, come on, will you please?
God.
Margaret, she's a model. All right, I've said I saw your picture. You're very lovely.
It just sounded sarcastic.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean any sarcasm.
So, where was I?
You're talking about when you're going out with him.
Oh, yeah, I was going out with him, and I knew I wasn't getting any younger. And this guy was an American. He was a wealthy American. He was in the news a lot. And he had the big tower, and he had all this stuff.
Now, what do you mean by big tower? You're being a...
Well, you are a vile, vulgar ass.
I'm sorry.
No, I don't mean that. I mean the building that...
Okay.
Yeah, talk about Trump Tower?
Yeah, Trump Tower. Who's that?
Bud Dickman.
Okay. Don't you got one more?
Yeah, I'm Robert Leonard, Mrs. Trump, and I'm going to keep quiet as much as I can.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. So, anyway, he had the big buildings and all that stuff. So I knew who he was. He had a lot of bread, and he got in the newspapers a lot. And I thought, well, hell, you know, that might be able to also help the modeling career a little bit or whatever else I wanted to do. And, you know, in my thing was I wanted to do a little writing. But more importantly, I wanted to become an American citizen and see if I couldn't start my business, which is at that time I was doing some fashion designing and some other baloney that you do when you're a model. But I had other ideas as well.
You're going to be a writer and publish a book and everything?
Yeah, I was going to be a writer and publish a book and everything.
Well, he's not very... Bud is injured and has some neurological problems.
Oh, I'm very sorry. I didn't know that. What was your question again?
No, it's just, do you be a writer?
Yeah, I was going to be a writer. And so, but I haven't written anything since.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, life has been real comfortable, you know. You know, when life is real comfortable, you don't really... push yourself. And so I've been sitting on my ass, excuse me for putting it that way, but I've been sitting on my ass for 12 years while Donald goes out and does this baloney.
All right, that brings us to the, and you said baloney.
Well, it's not necessarily the presidential, well, it is sort of baloney. Here's the thing about Donald. He says, I want to run for president. I said to him, you want to run for what? And he said, president. I said, okay, the president of the United States. He says, yeah. I said, all right, I know you're not asking my opinion. He said, no, I'm not. I said, okay, but I'll give it anyway. And he said, well, can I stop you? And I said, no. And I said to him, you know, you're going to be running for president of the United States. Now, you know and I know you're not qualified.
You did not.
What do you mean I did not?
You said that to Donald Trump.
Yeah, I said it to Donald. What's the big deal?
Well, that guy, you know, he doesn't take that kind of thing kindly.
Well, he's taking it from me. I'll give you that much. Because let me tell you, I come from Czechoslovakia. You know where that is? That's in the center of Europe. That's people roll real hardcore there, all right? No soft American multimillionaire daddy's boy is going to start putting his hands on me or telling me how it is. He married me because I was a model, because I'm a piece of ass.
Well...
I'm a piece of ass.
All right.
Yeah, okay, I agree. Yeah, we're always going to disagree with that.
Okay. So when he says, I'm going to run for president, I said, well, let me tell you what I think of that. He said, well, wait just a minute. Look, let me tell you something, Mr. Henry, and I think I can speak honestly here. His first wife, Ivana, was that her name?
Yeah, Ivana.
Yeah, Ivana Trump. How do I put it? Not the best-looking woman in the world. Wouldn't you agree?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Well,
you know, I mean...
But, no, we're not going to comment on that. I think she was a lovely woman.
Okay, whatever you say. Yeah, a real lovely woman. And the reality is, no, she wasn't. Okay? Now, the next one, Marla Maples, was an empty-headed broad. Excuse my language. Now, when he finally met me, he had a combination of brains and beauty. And also, he had one other thing. I got class. You know, I'm classy. I know how to conduct myself in public. So he says to me, I'm going to run for president. I said, you got to be putting me on. He said, you can't talk to me that way in public. And I said, I won't. I won't embarrass you. I said, but I'll talk to you like this now. And I said, you got to be the dumbest guy. I said, you know full well you're not qualified to be president. He said, I got a lot of ideas. I said, yeah, okay. Yeah, you got a lot of ideas. You and 900 other guys in the street. I got a lot of ideas, too, I said to him. You know, I got an idea that I may want to take a handful of pills and kill myself tonight. Am I going to do it? No. And that's when he starts going, hey, you can't talk. And I said, hey, let me tell you something, Donald Trump. I come from the old country, okay, and he starts talking about, well, you can go back. I said, sure, okay, fine. I got half of everything you got, and that's when he starts to soften down.
So you guys have this argument.
Yeah.
You have this argument when he says, I want to be president of the United States.
Exactly, yes.
Now, how did that, obviously he's running.
Well, yeah, there's no way you're going to stop the guy from running for president, but I gave him what I thought was my opinion. I said, you're not qualified. You're going to stink the joint. I said, if you get elected, God help the country. And he said, well, you know, that's really cruel of you, and that's really nasty. He used all those terms that he uses about, you know, Hillary Clinton.
But in the end, he goes ahead and does what he wants to do anyway, that you can't really stop him.
No, I mean, I can't stop him. He's going to spend his money. He's going to go out and do that stuff.
Now, why did you appear in public with him? To support him, I guess?
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, that's what you do. But then,
when he started the campaign, I got real tired of that. And he said, hey, what's my name?
Melania.
Yeah, he said, hey, Melania, why don't you come here? Why don't you go there? Let's do this. Let's do that. I said, I couldn't be bothered. Take that and stick it so far. He said, but you're the wife of a presidential candidate. I said, I don't care what I am. I'm not going.
So a lot of what he does, public appearances, you don't want to be with him?
I don't mind being with him, but I'm not going to be in front of all. Can I be perfectly honest?
That's what this is about.
Yeah.
I don't want to go down to North Carolina or Mississippi or wherever the hell. And, you know, I got to hang around with the, you know what I'm talking about.
All right. Some of the supporters.
Yeah. So he said, hey, Melania, I've got a big. Yeah. And the other thing is hanging around with his kids. I like them. They're okay. I'm not nuts about them. Ivanka thinks her stuff doesn't smell. Okay, good for her. You know, she's a good kid, but she ain't half of what she thinks she is. And that other one, that poor Tiffany, who's really got more brains than Ivanka, she's kind of marginalized. I kind of like her. I've befriended her.
Yeah, well, tell me about Tiffany. She's kind of, as you said, marginalized, off to the side.
Well, Donald, you know, look, he didn't have a whole lot of contact with her growing up. He just sent checks. And now he's using her for the campaign, but I noticed one day I was on his Twitter feed and I was looking at the people that he follows, and I said, how come you don't follow Tiffany? And he said, well, and I said, she follows you, because I went over and looked at who she was following, right? I said, you know, you're not following Tiffany. He said, well, and he mumbled something. He went and he got himself a 7-Up or whatever. He drinks Squirt mostly, but and so he started following her.
Talking here with Melania Trump, the wife of Donald Trump, running for president of the United States. Some very interesting comments here. The reason why she doesn't go out on the campaign trail with him is because he goes to a lot of real redneck places, huh?
Yeah, a lot of redneck joints. And I don't have anything against that, because like I say, I was raised, you know, among the Czechoslovakian equivalent of these rednecks. But, you know, you get tired of it after a while. And you fly to America, and you get the money, and you marry a rich guy. And then he says, hey, let's go to Mississippi. And you finally say, no, you know, it's over. No, I said I did that. When I was a model, I had to go down to all these real garbage can beauty festivals, and I would be on the runway in some real garbage pits. So
I don't understand. How can you be on the runway in a modeling competition in a garbage pit?
They got some, trust me when I tell you, General, in the modeling business, they will put you on a runway in a beauty contest in a garbage can of a town. And
well, that being, what's the point?
What's the point? Money. That's the point.
How do they make money in some of these rural places?
Well, they draw a lot of the talent from there, you know, and then they go into the big city like Budapest or whatever the hell it is, Prague. So, yeah.
All right, Melania Trump, there's just a couple more questions, Margaret.
Yes, Melania, again, I'm very sorry that I was a little snooty there at the beginning. You're a very beautiful woman. I would not say that Donald Trump is the most attractive of men. Tell me how that... Now, I know you're attracted to his personality, and obviously he has a great deal of accomplishment in life, but we did hear that he has an obesity problem, and that there may be some health issues there. Do you help him with that? And how do you sort of square all of that in your own personal life?
Well, you know, look, a woman can... You know this, Margaret, as well as any woman. A woman can overlook a lot of that if the guy's got dough, and he's got dough. Now, he's a big, fat tub of guts, and there's no question. He gets angry if I point that out to him. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, you got to... I said, first of all the pictures they take of you in a golf course, don't ever let them do it again. And we got in a big argument about this.
The pictures, which I think I know the ones you're talking about.
Yeah, the ones that at Mar-a-Lago, and also the ones in New York. His big fat ass in the middle of the picture. I said, you got to be... And I showed him. I said, look at this one here. And they took a picture of him from the ass. So all you see is his ass, the club, and maybe a golf ball, maybe a golf... But most of the picture is taken up with ass. And I said, you want... And he gets all pouty, you know.
Does he ever take any advice from you then? Is he just... All he does is pout?
That's all he does, yeah. I mean, but I figure if I keep on saying it, keep on saying it, keep on saying it, it's going to work its way into his... you know, daily routine.
Has he changed his diet or anything?
No, he hasn't changed. He eats that Popeye's fried chicken. I know you guys are big on Popeye's there, right, Phil?
Yeah, we like it.
Well, so does he, and it's garbage, and he sucks that stuff down like it's like his life will end if he doesn't have it. And then the other thing he eats a lot of McDonald's. He eats garbage. And I said, okay, as long as you don't mind them taking pictures of the big fat ass. And he goes, why do you keep saying that? I said, because you do. He's got a blind spot in this. And a lot of guys do. He thinks he looks like Jack Nicklaus out there. He thinks he's got, he thinks he cuts the svelte figure like Seve Ballesteros, somebody like that.
Do you follow golf?
No. These are just the guys that I've noticed in golf magazines.
Okay.
So he thinks, and the reality, it's like a reverse, anorexia. He thinks he looks like a real stud, and in reality, he's a tub of guts. So I said to him, I said, Donald, I love you primarily because you have money. He said, I know that. And I said, but you are a tub of guts, and the weight's got to come off, because all they ever do is take a picture of your ass, and your head is about one fifth the size
of his ass.
Yes. And it's supposed to be, I think your head should be about at least three quarters the size of your ass, you know, and almost as big.
I don't know where you
where'd you find that out?
I was reading some health magazines.
All right, Melania Trump has been our guest on the Phil Henry Show. Any other questions?
No, just thank you very much, Mrs. Trump, and everything, and the best of luck.
Yes, thank you. It's been nice speaking with you. I want to, does his anger flare up? We've been told so much about it. I wonder, does he get angry with you?
Oh, he's tried. He's tried.
He's tried.
Oh, yeah, he's tried, but he doesn't, that doesn't play. Because, frankly, you know, you want the honest truth? I could kick his ass around the room for drill. That's the God's truth.
Now, he's 6'3".
He's 6'3". It's all donut oil on this guy, okay? 6'3", and he's going on 800 pounds. It's all donut oil. And the reason why I say I can is because he comes from a soft background. You know, he was raised by daddy, went to the military school. He never learned how to throw down. I did, see. I came from the mean streets. I come from a part of the world where there's war all the time. There's, you know, machine guns going off, crap like that. So I said, "You, the day you put your hands on me is the day you go sailing out that window." And we were 20 floors up. So
well, that made an impression.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He sat down. He was shaking. He sat down. Asked me if I was serious. I said, yeah. And that's when I took Baron by the hand, and I said, we're going off to Popeye's. Do you want anything? And he said, yeah.
He wants an 8-piece?
Yes.
Are you crying?
Yes, I am.
All right, Melania Trump has been our guest on the Phil Henry Show. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you, Phil. It's been great. Oh, by the way.
Melania Trump, and I guess it's not easy being married to a wealthy man and having to share that wealth.
Yes, this has been As You Like to Hear Them on The Phil Henry Show.
And we'll be right back.
Maybe.
Phil Henry here for our Backstage Pass. The Backstage Pass, of course, is the subscription to our website. Now, you hear our podcast every day, which is free of charge. In fact, you can listen to up to 5 weeks of free podcasts over at Podcast One or on SoundCloud. And certainly every day, you've got that free player right in the middle of our homepage. But we also have 20,000 plus hours of not only the podcast, but our classic radio show, the show that we did from 1990 through 2006. And in that show, I played the parts of not only myself as the host, but also the guests. And we had real people calling, thinking that they were talking to real people. It's, I think, probably one of the most unique radio shows that has ever been produced. I didn't know it at the time, and I still am not quite sure what it was I was doing. But, hey, we've got all those shows over there. We are getting ready to digitize our Miami shows. A lot of people have asked, well, why hasn't that happened?
Yeah, well, you were talking about it.
I know, and the reason why, you've got to take analog tape and digitize it, and it's real time, man. It takes a long, long time. So there's a lot happening, and even more than that, coming up at the world-famous Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. So head over and get a Backstage Pass, get a month or a year's subscription to our website, and coming up in November, we will have a special customer appreciation month for you then. So, and also anything that we're doing outside of the show, like our appearances at the Hollywood Improv, we advertise there. And our Best of 2015 CD, which I think we're going to have to, it's not a CD, it's a download.
We're going to get together and do another one. We're going to get together. I'm going to get it together.
Yeah, you do that, man. So as soon as Bud gets it together, we'll have a Best of 2016 CD as well.
As hell.
It's hell. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
on that like a Montana. Honey killers on the hills. Legacy.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
All right,
that's about all she wrote for today's show, folks. We had another guest. I don't know what the hell happened to him.
Who was it?
I forget.
You forget.
Yeah.
Well, I know we had Art Griego. We talked to Art Griego.
Yeah, talked to Art Griego, and we talked to Melania Trump. And we had another one. I can't remember.
Don't yell, man. Just talk right, you know.
We had another one, and I can't remember.
Well, were you going to call him?
I was going to call him, but I can't remember what his name is, so I can't find it in the book.
All right, that's nice. By the way, folks, don't quote me on this, but we are looking to have a special live streaming event on election night. We will be covering the presidential election, but we may be doing it from Washington, D.C.
Now, what did you find out about the rooms there?
Well, here's the thing. I wanted to do it from the new Trump Hotel, not because we want to be smartasses and go in there and start acting stupid. No, the reason is because the location of that hotel is phenomenal. That's who we were going to have, Mark Barger.
Well, do we have time?
I don't know if we have time for Mark. Let me just check the clock. We can get Mark on the line.
Well, it's good.
Get Mark on the line.
All right.
Yeah, do it. Look at Dickman. This isn't you to decide.
Okay.
Mark Barger is going to join us now from the Rinaldo Hotel in Washington, D.C., which is located just about a block down from the Trump Hotel, the new Trump Hotel, which is located in the post office. Here is Mark. Mark, how are you doing, buddy? I'm glad that we could get you on the air.
I'm very good, and I'm glad that I can also be on the air, because it's going to be busy, as you indicated, here through the election of whoever they do elect.
And I imagine right there on Pennsylvania Avenue is where it's all going to be happening, huh?
Well, you know, it's happening all over the city. It's happening all over the country, actually. But the Hotel Rinaldo, which I manage, we're already sold out. The Trump Hotel is having a little bit of a problem because of the brand. He's a controversial man. However, and they have lowered their prices, you're right, Phil, to somewhere in the neighborhood of $400. I was going to say that we would love to have you here, but we're sold out, so there's no room. So good luck.
Well, if Trump is sold out, find something someplace. I may not be on Pennsylvania Avenue, but we still may not be there, so.
I understand that.
Mark, we have this discussion. Your name is pronounced how?
All right, my name is pronounced, like everyone knows, my name is pronounced Mark Bargain.
Mark Bargain?
No, God.
Mark Bargain?
No, that's not it at all. That's not it at all.
Damn, but everybody's saying...
Wait. My name is Mark Barkin.
Mark Barkin.
Is that it, Mark Barkin?
Can I ask a question? You're not deaf, right?
I'm not deaf. I'm trying to understand how your name is. Could you spell your name?
Yes. B-A-R-G-E-R. Mark Bung, and I am the manager.
Now, wait. You just kind of rolled over that real fast.
All right. You want me to go slow?
Yes.
Mark Bung.
Mark Bark.
No, Christ. Take it.
Hello?
Who's this?
It's Russell. I'm an assistant manager.
Russell, this is Phil Hendry. Would you go get Mr. Barger?
It's not Barger, it's Barkin.
It's Barkin?
No, it's not. I don't want to talk to these assholes. He don't want to talk to you.
Would you please tell him that Margaret's on the phone? She wants to talk to him.
Margaret. Yes, Margaret.
Now, Mark, you know that Frank and I do a lot of business with your hotel chain.
Yes, I know.
Now, how do you pronounce your name?
How many times do I have to answer this question?
Well, nobody knows. You ain't saying it clear, man.
Who is that?
No, my name's Robert Leonard.
Mark Barkin.
Mark Barkin?
No! Hello?
All right, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to butcher his name alive and tell him that I don't care if I ever stay in his hotel again.
Hey, Mr. Bargain,
All right, so...
That was great, Phil. I've got to do business with that guy.
Good, you go and do your business with that guy. Mark Barkin, Mark Bargain, Mark Barka.
Mark, he also said it was Mark Bargain.
Yeah.
All right, well, you want me to rebook Mr. Bargain?
Mr. who?
Barwin.
Barwin, that's his name, huh?
No, it's not Barwin. I know his name. I've known Mark for years. His last name, B-A-R-G-E-R, is pronounced Mark Barlin.
Barlin.
No, I did not say that.
Yes, you did. I just heard you say Barlin. We can play the tape back.
Where are you going, Margaret?
I'm going to the bathroom. Is it any business of yours? I'm going to take a dump.
Thanks a lot.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California is executive produced by Mr. Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
I'm Bart Bartman speaking.
Shut your hole.